This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. He's a longtime terrorism expert and a professor on Middle East studies. We want to get his thoughts today on the significance of the U.S. taking out the leader of the Taliban in Pakistan, if in fact we have, as well as his insights into the U.S. intelligence community across the board telling Congress this week that we can expect with certainty an al-Qaeda terrorist attack attempt on American soil in the coming months. And Dr. Faris, always great to have you.
Thank you very much, Greg, for having me.
Well, let's start over in Pakistan. The reports are that we've killed Haqqamullah Massoud, the Taliban leader in Pakistan. Some of his allies are saying that's not true. What do we know for sure, and how significant is it if we have killed him?
Well, the irony here is that this killing has happened many times over the past 2 to 3 years. Pakistani authorities, U.S. and coalition forces have thought that basically they may have killed him in the past, and then he reemerged. Again, this time we see that U.S. authorities are more firm and serious about claiming that he was taken out. We will know soon, because the tradition, the doctrine tradition among the Taliban is if he is indeed killed, he will become a martyr, and therefore there will be a video sort of a celebration of his acts during his life, and that's where we really know.
And what does it mean if we have, in fact, taken him out? How does that disrupt their operations? To what extent?
On the pure military level, taking out Massoud as a commander of Taliban operation within Pakistan and also with a reach inside Afghanistan would be a significant move. It will disrupt, it will sort of paralyze Taliban strategic planning for a while. It has an expiration date, and that is when the Taliban would appoint a new commander. It will take a few months, probably up to a year, before that commander will actually replace Massoud. But again, anytime our military or our allies eliminate a leader from the terrorist organizations, it will buy time. The question is what to do during that time, what kind of work we need to do in terms of counter-radicalization, in terms of work with society so that the next leadership with al-Qaeda or the Taliban will be much weaker.
Last week in the State of the Union address, Dr. Faris, the president talked about the success of these drone strikes. Just how much of a factor have they been, especially in Pakistan, where our troops aren't allowed to go, as well as in Afghanistan?
Any global strategy against the global efforts by the jihadists, should it be in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, or around the region, any military dimension is always important to provide a free space, meaning a space where the Taliban are either weak or are marginalized. The strategic question is, when you weaken the enemy, what kind of force you want to introduce in the society, the government, the armed forces, so that you would interdict the comeback of the Taliban or the rebuilding of the Taliban. So the drone strategy is the most advanced technological weapon against the Taliban, because you can shoot it from far away, remote, and then be very precise in most cases. But the issue now, again, the drone will give you an advantage. What would you do with that advantage is the question.
Dr. Faris, let's move on to our other subject now, and that's the intelligence community telling the Senate Intelligence Committee this week that in the coming months there's a certainty of an attempted al-Qaeda attack here in America. Is that always the case, or is the threat that much greater right now?
Look, my take on this, because I followed on the domestic rise of terrorism, jihadi terrorism, for quite a while now, my take on this is, had this hearing taken place last year, I would doubt that the senior officials would have made the same statement, for the simple reason that during 2009, the year 2009, the United States, the homeland, has been targeted 12 times by jihadi lone wolves or groups linked to al-Qaeda or homegrown. Two of these attacks in Arkansas and in Fort Hood were bloody. One of them was short of becoming a disaster, the Christmas Day attempt to bomb a plane. So it is very normal and logical that the analysts of all of these agencies would have suggested to their leaders that short of, you know, ending the war in a couple months, it is projected that al-Qaeda and or the other jihadists are going to continue with the same speed, same frequency, and even quantitatively as they have done in 2009. So it is very logical what they've said. The only missing thing is that they need to explain to the American public, probably at a higher level, the president and congressional leaders, what is that ideology, what to expect, where are the radicals, how to combat them.
two ways to follow up on that. First of all, let me just go on the point you just made. What does the president need to say on this, and why hasn't he said it to this point, do you think?
Look, in 1 year, the president made statements that are really at the antipode of each other. On the one hand, when there were attacks, after the attack of Fort Hood, the statement was made that we should not rush to judgment, yet most of the officials in the administration rushed to judgment by saying that this is an isolated act. Days after, we realized that there was an exchange of email between Hassan and Awlaki in Yemen, Imam Awlaki, and the same was done after the Christmas Day bombing, where the first statement from the White House was, this is an isolated act, isolated extremist. 48 hours later, Al-Qaeda in Yemen adopted that, and then 3 days after that, or more, bin Laden said he's a hero. So we have to be careful in how to educating the public. We need to inform the president and congressional leaders from both parties, needs to educate the public about the scope and the dimension of what we are facing off with. And this is really dramatic because we are at the ninth year of the war. This should have been done even under the previous administration.
Dr. Ferris, going back to the certainty of an attempted attack, you mentioned the different types of attacks we've seen and attempted attacks from without. And when you talk about the Christmas Day bombing, from within, when you talk about Fort Hood and some of these other arrests we've seen, such as Najibullah Zazi out in Colorado, mm-hmm. and some of these others across the country. So how do our officials strategize here? What do they look for most?
Look, the one thing that we need to understand is we're not dealing with a regular army which has a mode of attack, a manual of attack. This is how the divisions are. We are dealing with a war room which has the advantage over us of having penetrated the United States, having already assets inside the United States. And I'm glad that the U.S. officials have finally came to the conclusion that we are penetrated inside the United States, and they have assets outside the United States. So the luxury they have is that they could send another Abd al-Muttalib, this time not from Nigeria, but from another country, maybe not from Africa, possibly from Europe. And they have the luxury of sending another cell, another group already installed in the United States. So it is very difficult now to look at what is it they're going to send. We need to be more preemptive in the sense that we need to detect them. We need to detect these human missiles as they are weaponized in a way that means when they're radicalized. In the case of Abdul Muttalib, for example, we stopped him, civilians stopped him in our trenches in the airport. We should, the airplane. We should have stopped him when he started to post those radical jihadi narrative on the blog. That is the moment where we should have had him on the no-fly list.
Dr. Ferris, a lot to pursue, especially as this threat continues to grow. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Waleed Ferris, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. He's a terrorism expert and a professor of Middle Eastern Studies. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.